Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 8th day of October, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is lawlessness. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumriam Beth. And we also want to remind you of the website, PastorDan.net, and again, Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, PastorDan.net, not com, net. We draw your attention to the homepage where you get information about how to help us out financially if you feel led to do so. And for the few folks out there that do, bless your hearts. Yahweh bless you mightily. There's also another page called Daily Mail, and that's where I put links to lots of information about prepping, home defense, health issues, current events, geopolitical, all of that is on the Daily Mail page with links and sometimes a description that I'll add there if it's needed. And let me just say this too, because obviously I've been gone for over a week due to problems with computers. Now, this is under normal circumstances. If they start playing with the internet and some things like that, you're going to find, you know, more and more disruptions. So try to be in the habit to go to that website and check the Daily Mail page from time to time, especially since some of the email programs now seem to be having problems. So keep that in mind that if the email system is not working or I'm having trouble myself, I will put lots of information up on the website. There's an old adage that says, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. See, that's our problem today. Most people, especially the Caucasian race, our people, the Israelites, many of us, we don't even try. You know, it's just like when this whole COVID scam was going on. From the beginning, I was telling people, did you read the mandate? Most people didn't. If you read the mandates, there were exemptions in every single one of them. And almost all of us could apply at least one of those exemptions, but people did not even try. And I'm ashamed to say it. Some of my close friends and family were part of that group. They showed no gumption whatsoever, no guts, no glory, so to speak. I would walk up there sometimes in a group of my friends or my relatives, and you know, they were all pulling their masks out, ready to put them on before they even got up to the person at the door. I said, what the hell are you doing? You've acquiesced and they haven't even said anything to you. I'd walk up and go, well, I have an exemption, so, oh, go ahead. That's all it took. Now, true, when I went to BJ's warehouse, which is like a Costco, and when I went to Walmart, I got set upon by management, and I had to do a little bit more resistance, a little bit more talking. But again, no more than 5 minutes of my time, and they made a quick phone call to their legal department, and I walked about in the store without a mask and without being harassed. That's all it took, 5 minutes of my time and standing my ground, and that's all it took. So, again, that old adage says, don't be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. Why? Because it's a form of cowardice. And I'm going to get to some verses here of what our Father thinks of a coward, okay? It's not a very good thing. Richard Buckminster Fuller, we've said this 100 times, but I'm going to say it again. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. What's the existing reality? Lawlessness. From the top down in this society today, lawlessness. So you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. What's the old model that's obsolete? The one that's falling apart before your very eyes? Why? Because we've abandoned the truth. We abandoned God's law. We've abandoned the wisdom of our ancestors. We even abandoned the wisdom of our parents in some cases, or grandparents. We abandoned logic. We abandoned the truth because the comfortable lie kept us employed. The comfortable lie protected our home and our toys. The comfortable lie made us acceptable to our neighbors. But it's still a lie. And again, it's a form of cowardice, and we're going to talk about the verses where our Heavenly Father doesn't look very kindly on those who are cowardly. Revelation 18:4, another one that we say quite often, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people. Who's the her? This lawlessness system. Come out of her, my people, so that you have no part in her sins and in her punishments. You take a look around what's going on out there, okay? Punishments on what? Lawlessness. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. See, here's the thing. Is everything that's truthful and good for us readily available? Yes, it is. But as this verse says, it is the honor of kings. That's you and me, folks. We were given authority on this earth to search out a matter. So there's some searching required. Just as the truth about Yahweh and when he came to this earth as Yahshua. Okay? Did he beat anybody over the head and drag them along saying, you have to follow me? You have to. No. No. All he said was, I'm going to give you living waters. I'm going to give you the truth. Do you care about the truth? Do you want to hear the truth? Do you give a damn about the truth? Sadly, a lot of people, no, they don't. This world is full of zombies. You know, we thought all the movies about zombies were totally make-believe. Guess what? You're in it now. You're in the final show, folks, by the way. You're in the end time scenario right now. And if time permits, we're going to cover all that in the verses that I've chosen. You're in it, okay? This isn't a future event. You're in it. You're in the middle of it. You're in the thick of it. When the Dead Sea Scrolls talked about the great battle at the end of the age between the children of light and the children of darkness, what are the children of light? The people who are of what? Wisdom, godliness, cleanliness, rational thinking, truth, honesty, compassion, empathy. That's the children of light versus the children of darkness. Who are they? That's the zombies. Take a look at them out there. Millions upon millions of them. You're in it. It's not a future event. You're in it. It's here. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, does it say if the world? Does it say if the Eskimos or the Aborigines of Australia? No, it says if my people on whom my name is named make themselves low, which is another word for humble, and come to me in prayer. What's prayer? Conversation with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Searching for me and turning from their evil ways. Again, conditional statement. You have to do all the ifs if you want to get the then. So here's all the ifs that we just read. Then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their sin. What is sin? Lawlessness. Sin is transgression of his law or lawlessness. And give life again to their land. Give life again to their dead, dry bones. bringing the Holy Spirit back into that temple that's vacated. That's where the zombies come in here. They're empty vessels walking around, no Holy Spirit in them. This is from a fellow called Rabble Rouser on Telegram. Any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. That's a warning to public servants, including those in uniform. Okay? Any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office. And, here we go with that conjunction, and destroys your immunity from prosecution. In other words, if you're an evil, bad actor, you don't have any immunity. Some people have what we call immunity when they are doing their job as we empowered them as our public servants. Okay? But as soon as they vacate the office by their acts of treason and breaking of God's law, they don't have that immunity any longer. And the day is quickly approaching when you're going to see men and women in public service pay the price for their treason. Oh, I know a lot of people are naysayers. Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, you know, it didn't happen up to now, so it's not going to. Well, you know what? The scriptures talk about the people sitting around going, well, it must not be true. Bible must not be true because we've been hearing about this for years, and oh, here we sat and nothing happened. Duh, 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 duh. Okay, some things take a long time. That's funny because in that same Bible that you're all sitting there bitching and moaning about, it also says that the wheels of justice turn slowly. Just like the big wheel at the mill back in the day when windmills were used to grind the wheat into flour. That big heavy millstone turned very slowly. And as the Bible says, but that millstone grinds exceedingly fine. Yahweh's judgment upon mankind will grind exceedingly fine. Yeah, it takes a little time to build up its momentum, but judgment is coming. Fear not, judgment is coming. Henry David Thoreau, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who's striking at the root. What did Henry mean by that? It means we got a ton of people sitting out here bitching and moaning about all the woes we got, thousands of them, to the one person that's going, well, wait a minute, what's the root of our problem? Hey, take a look in the mirror. You want to see the root of the problem? Take a look in the mirror. There's your root. How many of our people have turned against logic, turned against truth, turned against God's law? The vast majority is the answer. That's why Christ said, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? Good question. Will I find faith upon the earth? Answer, not much. Just take a look around as we're in the zombie apocalypse right now. Apocalypse, by the way, doesn't mean Armageddon and the end of the world. Apocalypse is just a Greek word for the unveiling, the tearing away of the cover, such as the propaganda mill that the Jews have created all over this earth with their untold wealth. They've created a propaganda machine called the media, the mainstream media, that covers up their misdoings. Well, that veil, that covering is being ripped away. That is the apocalypse. You see, the Jewish media wants everybody to mentally associate the word apocalypse with evil and with destruction and end of the world type scenarios. But the word in the Greek language simply meant an unveiling, a pulling away of the mask to reveal who's behind the mask. Remember, the word hypocrite comes from Hippocrates, which was the Greek word for an actor. And who is an actor? One who pretends to be one way when in reality they are something totally different. Good case in point. A politician is an actor. Okay? Pretending to represent you and the best interests of our land while they are nothing more than whores sold out to the highest bidder. Do you see the difference? So the actor puts on the facade, oh, I'm a good guy. I took my oath of office. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in our founding fathers. I believe that the white race that founded this nation should stay in charge. Blah, 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 blah. When in reality, behind closed doors, hey, Irv, come on over here and give me another bag full of electronic shekels, will you? Because I'm just like Judas, and I'm going to sell out everybody to you Jews while you destroy Christian America. In fact, Christian Canada and Christian Europe. I'm going to turn my back on the destruction of these lands because you gave me some nice bags of electronic shekels. You see the difference? Bad actors, hypocrites. That's why Christ said, ye shall know them by their hypocrisy. All right? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees is just a code word for Jews. And I know the real Jews versus the fake Jews. Okay, that's a whole different subject. I'm talking about the people walking around like Charles Schumer that identifies as a Jew, or Nancy Pelosi, who's ethnically a Jew, pretending to be a Christian, which is a total a total joke. So when I use the term Jew, I'm talking about what they call themselves. Are they the, quote, true Jews? Of course they're not. Which is from the word Judean or Judahite. No, of course they're not those people, which are the people of the Bible. But that's part of the confusion, okay? Babylon means confusion. The very word Babel and Babylon in the Greek mean confusion. But not just any confusion. Confusion caused by admixture. Well, wait a minute, Dan, what are you talking about? Confusion by admixture? Yeah, confusion like God's word and his law with man's law. That causes confusion because God clearly states that murdering is a capital crime, meaning it deserves death. And yet, man's law says it's okay to butcher babies. Man's law says it's okay to cut them up and sell their organs and their parts and their tissue to food coloring and food, what do you call that? Enhancements for, oh, flavor enhancers, okay? Research facilities and research organizations get tissue and organs from these babies. Not to mention some of the occult folks get them as well. Okay, so man's law says it's okay to do all that because man's law is under the influence of Jews, and Jews will do whatever it takes to make money. Literally, they will do anything to make money because money is their God. Jews do not believe in a hereafter. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. That's a total, again, mirage created by the propagandists. Jews are totally antithetical to the teachings of Yahweh God. They are the, quote, adversaries. Yeah, the Bible uses the word devil, but that's not a real person. The word devil is simply from the word in the Greek language, diablos, which means your adversary. Your adversary walks on two legs, speaks with a forked tongue. That's who your adversary is, not some spirit out there. Come on, grow up. Wake up. Your adversary walks around with a clipboard and a pen, and he says, I'm here from code enforcement, or I'm here from some government agency. And you walk around like, oh, I go to obey them because, you know, they're from the government, you know, Diane. I got to do what they say. That's funny. What did William Blackstone say? If there's a law created by any legislature that goes counter to God's law, then it's no law at all. None. It's as if it never even existed. What did Peter say? Let's see. Peter, yeah, the guy in the Bible. He said if it's a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. He didn't say, well, I highly recommend it, or, you know, you might want to think about it. No, he said, you must. So there you had Peter in the day who walked with Yeshua. And then you have William Blackstone, considered one of the greatest jurists of all time, both of them saying the exact same thing. If you got a choice between something a bunch of people put together and our Creator, you choose what the Creator told you. But what do people do today? Yeah, it's lawlessness. Yahweh and his law. I think I'm going to worship. I'm going to fear. I'm going to revere the people that have the guys with the uniform coming up and knocking on my door if I don't listen. Well, that's called tyranny. You see, when the people sitting in public office need to get guys with guns and badges to come and enforce the law, that's called tyranny. In case you didn't figure it out yet. Tyranny. And what did the founding fathers say and the people that founded this great nation? Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. So we have to relearn all this stuff because the public school system has turned us into a bunch of mental midgets. We're a bunch of cretins, which means low IQ, low intelligence. That's what a cretin is. We've also become miscreants. What is a miscreant? Somebody with no morals. Very low or no morals. So we're both. We're cretins and miscreants today in this society. I call them zombies. Ezekiel would call them the valley full of dead and dry bones. Why? Because they don't have any spiritual awareness. They don't have any spirituality. They have no empathy. Sir Walter Scott, in case you've never heard the name before, without courage, there cannot be truth. And without truth, there can be no other virtue. A lot of wisdom in that one sentence, correct? So without courage, there cannot be truth. You know, everybody says out there, well, I believe in the truth, but wait a minute. Do you really? Because generally speaking, if you truly believe something, it will affect the way you speak and act. If you're paying lip service to it, then it's not a truth to you. Does that make sense? That's why the scripture says that faith without works is dead. You claim to have faith, but you have no works? Well, then you don't have faith. Sorry, you're just deceiving yourself. And many people are. These buildings we call churches, which are antithetical to our Heavenly Father, by the way. These buildings called churches are full of those hypocrites. Paying lip service to a form of godliness, but denying the power of our Creator. Denying that he's in charge, denying that he has the power, denying the truth of his law, which brings order, by the way. So it's why it used to be called law and order. When you have law, enforced law, you have order. But today we have laws, but they're not enforced because the Antichrist is in charge. So we have laws that say it's not proper to murder somebody, and yet people commit murder all the time. Doctors do it in abortion clinics and get away with it. Blacks and browns and other street criminals get away with it in our cities because the communists in charge want the chaos. So they look the other way. However, a white people, the Caucasian people who simply say, oh, I don't want my child in school, so I'm going to homeschool, they'll get knocks on the door and threats of being put in prison. Or that their children will be taken away from. The war is against us, the Caucasian race, who are Yahweh's chosen people. That's why what we call Christianity, and we're talking about real Christianity, not the church version, which is total ludicrous nonsense. True faith in Yahshua is called a white man's burden. It has been through centuries of our ancestors. The biblical faith was called the white man's burden. Other races even referred to it as the white man's burden because it was our law. Just as it says in Scripture, I gave the law unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Israelites got the law. The rest of the world didn't. It applied to us. And then we teach by example. We teach others by example how to live a godly life. And the blessings. Show them the blessings that come from living a godly life. That's how you teach people. You don't drum it in their head that you have to obey, and then you go out the back door and you violate the law. That's not how it's done. You lead by example, as my father used to tell me, constantly. Even when I got older and I went into the United States Air Force and I was going to become a supervisor, they gave me a promotion and was going to make me in charge of the maintenance shop and be one of the leaders of the maintenance department. My father set me aside and he said, now that you're going into management, you have to understand something. You do not control the men. The supervisor does not make the men. The men make the supervisor. He said, don't ever forget that. Don't ever let your position go to your head because those men under you are who are going to either make you or break you. That lesson stayed with my entire life, and you know what? There was a blessing from it. Every time I was a supervisor, the men under me thanked me for the time they spent with me because they said I was the best supervisor they had ever had. Why? Because I put the desires and the needs of my men before my own. I looked at my job as simply to remove roadblocks from them being successful. And they, in turn, made me extremely successful. Do you see how it works? We do everything ass backwards today. We give people promotions to become CEOs or CFOs or prime ministers or presidents, and they think that they're now little gods. That even though they're scumbags and miscreants, that they can tell us how to live. And see, it's just the opposite. That's why the scripture tells you, if you want to be first, you have to be willing to be last. That's what the scripture means. You want to be first at the table? Then you better be willing to be a servant. Because that's who's going to sit next to Yahshua. Those with the attitude of a servant, not a dictator, not a tyrant. When tyrants rule, the people moan. That's what Scripture says, doesn't it? The unrighteous or tyrants. Same thing, synonymous. The people moan. Well, are people moaning today? Sure as hell are. I hear moaning all the time. Why? Because you've got tyrants running the show. You have people in this cacistocracy who are running things who don't deserve to be in those positions. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Well, yeah, but Dan, what are we going to do about it? Throw the bastards out. Where is it written that once they get into office, they have to stay there? Where is that written? Where is it written that when they commit capital crimes in office, that they're exempt from capital punishment? Where is it written? I've looked from one end of the Bible to the other. I don't see where it says to let them get away with this. And yet you got churchgoers, you got preachers out there, well, Jesus just loves everybody, and oh, don't you dare get involved in politics, because you know that's dirty business, and the church should stay lily white. That's funny, Yahshua is coming back on a charger dipped in blood. Sounds like violence is part of the kingdom coming, doesn't it? Oh, no, well, wait a minute, Dan, You can't talk about violence because the powers that be, they don't like us talking about violence. Of course they don't, because they're tyrants. They're murderers. They're traitors. They're kidnappers. They're pedophiles. They're cannibals. What the hell's wrong with you people? Nowhere in Scripture does it say that the believers should turn their back on such behavior and allow it to exist because, you know, the teachers at the church, they told us you should be meek and mild and, you know, just go to church one day a week and put that hour of time in and then go home and be the little milk toast, little pansy sitting there. Well, what can we do? Oh, we'll pray about it. We're going to have a thing on Wednesday night. Oh, well, make sure you bring some beer and some refreshments. We're going to have a prayer session and we're going to pray through this. How's that working out for you, folks? All those prayer sessions out there. I remember at work one time a lady said, we've got a lot of folks with cancer, so we're going to have a prayer meeting today. Of course, she was going to lead it instead of the men. And we're going to have a prayer session for the folks with cancer. Well, my buddy said, are you going to go to it, Dan? I said, yeah, I'll sit through it. I don't really want to go, but I'll sit through it. So I went there, and after she was done, I walked up to her, and I said, well, that sounded really nice. I said, but why don't you actually do something? Well, we did. We just prayed for it. I said, now, how's that going to help the people getting cancer? Did you tell them what causes cancer? Did you tell them about the naturopathic remedies for people that have things called cancers? Did you tell them about the lies about radiation and chemotherapy? Did you tell them any of those things? Oh, well, that's not our job. We're not trained doctors. Oh, in other words, you're an ignorant son of a bitch. Is that it? You're an ignorant son of a bitch, but you feel qualified to pray for these people when you didn't take the time to learn anything about the disease or the fact that so many people are dying from it. It never entered your small pea brain that maybe somebody's lying to you, like the medical profession, the pharmaceuticals. That never entered that little brain of yours. Instead, you're going to hold prayer sessions. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, the bullshit that we've bought for so long. And here we sit in this day and age with the world literally coming apart at the seams, and still people are sitting around like, well, what do we do about it? Get off your ass and get involved? Does that sound like possibly something that you might want to entertain doing instead of being the thousand whacking at the branches of evil and bitching and moaning? Get off your ass and get involved. Denounce the liars, the traitors, the thieves, the pedophiles. Denounce them. Challenge them. Yahweh didn't put us here without weapons. We have weapons. All kinds of different weapons. But who's using them? That's the problem. Take a look around you. Not very many people. That's why he said the road to destruction is wide and many travel thereon. Yeah, that road leading to destruction is very wide. The one leading to salvation, and the salvation spoken of, by the way, is soter in the Greek, meaning to be delivered from physical harm here and now, has nothing to do with a spiritual hereafter. Yahweh said the truth will set you free and save you. I will be your savior when you want truth. If you can't handle truth, then there's no saving you. Just go down there and get the shit put in your arm and deal with it. Go down there and bow down to your masters and hope they don't fire you as the communists are taking over everything. And yes, the communists are kikes, the Jews. They invented communism. They financed communism. Every country that promotes communism is run by kikes. Every single one of them. It's their invention. So when you hear the word communism, instantly picture a hook-nosed Jew, and you will have who the communists are. When you want to picture where's all the money coming to finance all this mischief and all these absolutely horrendous things going on, all you got to do is picture a bunch of Jews sitting around a table somewhere, and there you go. Follow the money. It'll take you right to the source of all your woes. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love or compassion of many will grow cold. That's why these people are walking bones, sacks of dead and dry bones today. That's why when you go out on the streets, and I've noticed it like here in South Florida quite a bit, people don't have empathy for anybody. They're driving down the road as if they're the only car on the highway. They don't care that they're holding up cars or they're making illegal turns. They don't care. They're so self-absorbed and so narcissistic, they don't even realize what they're doing. That's your average person today. Lawlessness will be increased, so empathy for mankind is growing cold. Right? When you can kill babies, and we predicted this in 1974, I remember when it happened, I was in the Air Force at the time, I predicted then that you could start the timer for when this country would self-destruct. I said, you can start the timer for the demise of this nation in 1974 when you said it's okay to murder a baby. And we've been going downhill ever since. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Semicolon, sin is lawlessness. So the two terms can be interchanged. Lawlessness and sin are the same thing. So when the preacher sits there and tries to condemn some teenage boy because he had a lewd thought about a naked woman when he saw a picture in a Playboy magazine, he's calling that a sin. Really? What law is that you're talking about, sir? Because sin is lawlessness. All right? Yahweh made us to be attracted to each other. So telling somebody that they have committed sin because of something that pops in their head is ludicrous. All right? Now, when you let these thoughts turn into actions, okay, now you may be in the area of committing a sin. But having things in your mind, no. That's all part of what being human is all about. Our minds think of all kinds of things. All right? Maybe your neighbor pissed you off one afternoon and you thought about putting a knife in his back. That doesn't mean it's a sin. Now, if you walk out the door with a great big butcher knife and you actually go over and do it, okay, now you probably have committed murder. There's a difference, okay? So the preachers are sitting there trying to condemn you for natural processes, but they completely look the other way when the people in his congregation are working down at the abortion clinic. The people in his congregation work in government and they're liars and thieves. The people in his congregation are queers. People in his congregation are race mixers. Well, he has no problem with that. But don't you dare have a lewd thought about a naked woman. Hypocrisy, stupidity, insanity. The whole church world, churchianity, is insane. No wonder the churches are being vacated. Under the title of The Man of Lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now as to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and our meeting with him, it is our desire, my brothers. Now remember, this word brothers in the Greek language is talking about your racial kin, that you may not in mind or troubled by a spirit or by a word or by a letter as from us, with the suggestion that the day of the Lord is even now come. In other words, you can be led astray by different mistranslations or people claiming to be a New Age prophet. Be careful. Give no belief to false words, because there will first be a falling away from the faith. Called the great apostasy, and the revelation of the man of sin the son of destruction. Well, who's that, Dan? Well, verse 4 will tell you. Who puts himself against all authority. We'll put here righteous authority. Lifting himself up over all which is named God or is given worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, putting himself forward as God. Who's claiming to have jurisdiction over you, the temple of God? Oh, wait a minute, that's not what it's talking about. Oh, yes, it is. You are the temple that the Holy Spirit resides in, are you not? So, who claims to have all authority, even over the Creator himself, over your body, your fluids, your education, your health care, your job, your home, your property? Who claims to have all authority over you? Have you no memory of what I said when I was with you, giving you word of these things? And now it is clear to you what is keeping back his revelation till the time comes for him to be seen, which is right now, by the way. Governments are evil. Governments are the beast and those who work for them and take money from them, which would be all of the corporation, the bankers, pharmaceuticals, the churches. They're all in bed together, all one entity. For the secret of evil is even now at work, so even in that day. But there is no one, but there is one who is keeping back the evil till he is taken out of the way. The restrainer. Now, who's in control of the restrainer? Well, our Heavenly Father, obviously. So for many years, the righteous would stand up. That's what the crusade was about. Now, were there evil crusaders? Of course there were. But the knights of the Middle Ages were actually righteous men, better trained in violence to keep evil at bay. Okay? Same thing with the samurai from Japan, the same idea. They were servants of the people to keep evil at bay. Yahweh allowed certain organizations to be righteous and to fight this evil. And today, I don't see them. I don't see any organization standing in the way of these people. The restrainers have been taken out of the way. So evil prevails every direction you look. Verse 8, and then will come the revelation of that evil one whom Yahshua, the Lord, will put to death with the breath of his mouth and give to destruction by the revelation of his coming, his truths. Put to death with the breath of his mouth. What is that? The spoken word, truth. When it's spoken with sincerity, when it's spoken with empathy towards the miserable, the downtrodden, the widows and the orphans. It's not just words. It has to be words that give life, words that give meaning, words that give justification, words that take you from a state of ignorance into knowledge. Those are the weapons that destroy the wicked. Even the one whose coming is marked by the workings of Satan, which is just a word for an accuser, with all power and signs and false wonders. Again, that's your governments and bankers in bed together. They got tons of electronic money. They can create all kinds of false signs and wonders. And with every deceit of wrongdoing among those whose fate is destruction. Yeah. So right now, they're in their glory. The restrainers have been taken away. We have nobody on our side right now, do we? Very few preaching the truth, that's for sure. So we're here basically naked against the wicked ones. As it was foretold, the restrainer has been taken away. Evil is now in total control. Because they were quite without the love of the true faith, by which they might have salvation. So even as in verse 10, we're seeing the wrongdoers are in control, but it says, because why? Because you were the love of the true faith, or even truth itself, by which you could be saved. How many people went down there and got that shit put in their arms? The truth was out there. There were lots of us, not just this platform, but many platforms telling the truth. But did they love the truth? No. No, they didn't. And therefore, they did not receive, quote, salvation, meaning protection from harm in the here and now. And for this cause, Yahweh God will give them up to the power of deceit, and they will put their faith in what is false. See, everybody says, well, the wicked rule. Really? Again, did somebody come up and put a gun to the side of your head and make you do that? Did they make your friends or your relatives or your next door neighbor put that shit in their arm? No, all they had to do was intimidate you, threaten you, write some words on a piece of paper and call it a mandate, and you believed it to the point of putting a foreign substance into your body, into your children, into your spouse. Insanity and a total lack of faith. Total lack of faith. So that they all may be judged who had no faith in what is true, but took pleasure in evil, took pleasure in lies, took pleasure in deception. All of it is evil. All around us, corporations, the media, government, scientists, medical professionals, athletes, celebrities, all of them in bed together, all of them liars and deceivers. And yet, people put their faith in those folks. They gave them reverence. What is reverence? Reverence means that you change your habits. The things that you say and do is a form of reverence. If you believe in the Holy Spirit, if you believe in Yahweh God, it will affect your actions and your words. That's how come you know there's not very many that truly believe. Because it doesn't show up in their daily life. And again, the churches are full of these hypocrites. But there's also many others out there outside of the churches too. Hypocrites who say they love the truth. They want justice. They want righteousness upon the earth. They're sick and tired of this tyranny of man-made governments. But then they don't want to do anything about it except bitch and moan. My money's worthless. They're taking my property. They keep raising my taxes. Every one of these things has been spoken as being evil by different groups. The John Birch Society, many, many groups, too many of them for me to even list there, pointing out the fact that communism and tyranny were at the doorstep. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy going to the Keys and drinking my Manhattans and my Mai Tais down at the Tiki Hut and watching the half-naked women on the beach. I'm too busy. I got my shiny new motorcycle and my shiny new car. I'm too busy trolling around trying to pick up women. I can't be bothered by that. What are you talking about, Dan? I'm too busy trying to make money so I can get a bigger house and more cars and more toys. I can't be bothered with that stuff. Yeah, I know. I know. I've lived amongst you long enough to know. I was told many times, shut up. You're paranoid, Dan. That'll never happen here. Really? I've lived long enough to see it. I've lived long enough to be able to tell a lot of people, I told you so. Doesn't make it any nicer or easier to swallow. But I did tell you so, and so did many others. It wasn't just me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of you out there are hooked up with people that you should not be hooked up with. And that's why as I travel and I minister people, I'm seeing a lot of partnerships and relationships that are going to hell because you're unequally yoked. These people that say, well, I want to honor my wedding vows. Okay, so you want to honor something you said in a pagan church, but you're going to ignore what Yahshua told you in Scripture. How does that work? Why would you want to uphold a vow that you made in ignorance, living a life of absolute misery? Why would you do that when the Scripture says, don't be unequally yoked? For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Light being, of course, consciousness, realization, self-awareness with darkness, which is ignorance and antithetical to God's law. Okay? How does that go through life together? How do you do that? You don't. That's why there's misery. That's why there are broken homes. That's why there's domestic violence. Because you don't believe what the Word has told you. You don't even believe what your ancestors tried to teach you with courtship and getting to know somebody before you jump in the sack with them. Oh, no, you want to do what the Jews have told you to do, which is just let your emotions and your hormones guide you, because they know if you let them guide you, the Jew has you. Because they got all kind of industries, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, prostitution. They've got all kinds of industry out there to take care of those things. That's why they don't want you to break away from your behavior. That's why they don't want you to learn to control your passions. They don't want you to look to your ancestors and what they taught you. Oh, no, no, no. You're too far advanced for that. You're progressive. And again, I'll say, how's that working out for you? Romans 6, verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. In other words, your natural inclinations are going to be slaves to either evil or to righteousness. But you're going to be a slave to something. You're going to be giving in to the passions on one hand or the other. Don't think for a minute that you won't. You certainly will. It's just a question of which one. As the old Indian proverb talks about, which wolf are you going to feed? The one that does evil or the one that is righteous? Because that is the one that you will become. The one that you feed, the one that you pay attention to, give attention to, and obey. A lot of wisdom in Scripture when it's properly read, and the problem is that many of the English translations are terrible, really, with key words being mistranslated. Matthew 24, verses 11 and 12, for many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Again, the mainstream church world is full of them. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. And this love, of course, is the Greek word talking about the caring of your fellow man, brotherly love. It's not talking about eros love, meaning sexual or erogenous love. It's talking about affection, natural affections for your fellow man and for your own family members. I mean, even amongst our own family members, we don't even have natural affection anymore. Do we? No, the answer is no, we don't. Take a look. It's all around us. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. And again, as Yeshua said, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? You could also say, will I find good works? Because remember, the two go hand in hand, right? Remember that verse? So, will I find good works upon the earth? Not a lot. Not a lot. Matthew 13, verse 41, and the Son of Man will send his angels or messengers, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. So again, you say, well, Dan, the church told me that the law was done away with. You know, it was nailed to the cross, so I don't have to worry about the law. Oh, you mean that poisonous prophet behind the pulpit told you that? Because the seminary that he came out of taught him that, which was controlled by the people that are sitting at the top of that denomination, and they are controlled by the Jews that come in through the back door with bags full of electronic shekels. Yeah, that guy is the one that told you that? The law was done away with, huh? That's funny. Right here in Matthew chapter 13, doesn't sound like that to me. I will gather out of the kingdom all causes of sin, which is what now? What is sin? Sin and lawlessness are synonymous terms. And all lawbreakers. Well, Dan, my daughter's married to a black guy, and I love my daughter, so I have to love the black guy and my little half-breed children that they have, too. They're my grandchildren. I have to love them. Well, then you can get on the bus out of the kingdom with them, because he isn't going to allow that in the kingdom. And your sorry ass can get out of the kingdom too, because you love your flesh and blood more than you love our Creator. That's the simple truth. And look, I know there are a shit pile of people that think that way. Don't tell me they don't. I've met them in my many travels over the years, many, many people who have said literally that very thing that I just said to my face. When I brought up the fact that their children or their spouses or somebody in the family was breaking God's law, especially when it comes to race mixing. Oh, Dan, I have to love them. They're my children. Yeah, I know. One's married to a Mexican, and one's married to a black, and one's married to an Oriental. But, you know, they're my children, and that's their decision. Well, you made your decision then, too. You can get on the same bus out of the kingdom that they're on. I got news for you people. Yahweh does not compromise with evil. Okay? If you think for one freaking second that he does, you're an idiot. Now, if me, the fallible man that I am, can sit here and understand the law and what he's going to do, what do you think when the king gets here he's going to do? Do you actually think he's going to overlook those that break his law? If I wouldn't do it, do you think he would do it? Because I'm going to tell you something. If I were in charge, there'd be no mercy. Oh, I know. The scripture says to administer the law with mercy. Yeah, that's for people who have remorse for their sinful nature. That's for people who are truly trying to repent from their lawlessness. Oh, they might be shown some kind of mercy, but not for the willful son of a bitch that through his arrogance and ignorance sits there and says that his flesh and blood mean more than the person that put all of us on this earth. Sorry, that isn't going to fly. And you're going to find out here real fast, okay? You think that, well, it's just Dan talking, so, you know, I don't have to listen. Oh, okay, well, you know what? A whole lot of my family and friends said the same thing 40 years ago, and now they're not singing that tune anymore. Matthew 23, verse 28, so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Ooh. That pretty much describes everybody in government, everybody in the church world, everybody in entertainment and the media, and in the medical professions and the pharmaceuticals and the marketing organizations. Outwardly appear righteous to others, but inward are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. Words of Christ here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or you could say Master, Master, Teacher, Teacher, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So when he was on the other side, sitting on the throne, he is Father. Yes, of course, that's his title. So right here, not everyone saying, oh, I praise the Lord, and I pray in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Not all of them are going to enter the kingdom, but the one who does the will of my Father, which is what? His law. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, quote, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Again, Matthew chapter 7. New Testament. For all you churchgoers out there that don't believe in the Old Testament, that's in your new one. Oh, I know, you don't read the book, so you wouldn't have a clue, but I'm just letting you know, Matthew, that, yeah, that's in the New Testament. And yet you don't believe what it says either. You're all hypocrites. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, Yahweh God, your Elohim God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Do you ever notice that those that are anointed of our Father don't seem to fit the bill with everybody else? Do you ever notice that? Yeah, even in my case, again, I'm a fallible man, meaning I've made mistakes. I'm not perfect. But even I, sometimes when I go into a crowd and all, and in fact, I had a group of men come visit me just the other day, and one of them said, you know, I love coming over here to talk to Dan. And he goes, because every time I leave here, I feel energized. I feel happier. I feel invigorated. That's what this verse is talking about. Do the people around you feel attracted to you because you're different? Because you should be. Because you have the anointing of the Most High upon your life. So your spirit, your words, your attitude, your compassion is different than the zombies, those dead and dry bone sacks out here walking around in this world, or that boardroom at the corporation with all the stuffed shirts kowtowing to every Jewish edict. Yeah, they don't. I've been there. They're sycophants to the wicked. They've sold their soul for a bag full of silver. Well, actually, not even silver, for a bag full of electronic digits in a computer, which, by the way, can be vaporized in a second. How many of you people sold out your farms and your family businesses and your country to a bunch of kikes for a bunch of electronic digits in an account somewhere. How many of you did that? Are you aware of how fast all of that electronic so-called money can literally vaporize? You sold yourself out, your family, your race, for electronic digits. Let me know how that works out for you, by the way. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit, of course, expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Are they talking about spiritual demons? No, they're not talking about the demon world. No. Demons, adversaries, liars, deceivers in shoe leather. That's your demons. Warning against false teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I urged you when I was going into Macedonia, stay at Ephesus that you might command certain men not to teach a different doctrine and not to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than God's stewardship, which is in faith. But the goal of this command is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith, from which things some, having missed the mark, have turned away to vain talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say nor about what they strongly affirm. Yeah, your cathedrals and churches are full of these assholes. But we know that the law is good if a person uses it lawfully. As knowing this, the law is made not for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for the sexually immoral, for homosexuals, for slave traders, for liars, for perjurers, and for any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine according to the good news or gospel of the glory of the blessed Yahweh God, which has committed to my trust. How many people do you know fit the description of those that aren't going to make it? 1 John 5, starting at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. That's you and me, folks. And when we love God and obey his commandments. So you can't have one without the other. You can't say you love him and then disobey his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Exactly right. Good case in point is how many times I talk to people about the food laws, and I've heard, I don't care what that says, I want to eat what I want to eat. That's burdensome to me to have to worry about the ingredients in the food I buy at the grocery store, to be looking for GMOs and be looking for high fructose corn syrup, be looking for food colorings and looking for all these other hidden ingredients that are given names that sound innocuous, but they're actually poisons. Oh, that's too much. Well, when you're in the hospital bed dying, maybe then it will dawn on you that a little bit of effort paid over the years, you wouldn't be laying there. And I'm going to blow my own horn here. Okay? I'm 70 years old. Do I look 70? No. Do I feel 70? No. Do I have any of the aches and pains that people even half my age have? No. Does my brain still function? Yes. Is my vision improving? Yes. Can I still work in the hot sun and do things outside? Yes. Do you think maybe what the book is talking about may be true then? If you put into practice the things that it tells us that there's a blessing, this cowboy is going to tell you yes. Okay? For one thing, I'm living proof that Yahweh is truth. And there's a whole lot of things I could tell you just from my own personal experience that tells me he's real. And how many times in my life when I disobeyed the commandments or disobeyed the Holy Spirit that I suffered to the point where I finally learned in my 30s that maybe life would be a little better if I gave up control and let Yahweh have control of my life. Maybe if I listened and obeyed, as the scripture says. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. That's the old hymn, right? Second Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. We're there, folks. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, meaning here your ancestors, not necessarily your mom and dad on earth. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Okay, words of wisdom from the scriptures. Romans 13:9, because it's short and sweet. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, which actually means race mix. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. And by the way, using something that does not belong to you is a form of stealing. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word, or you could have said these words. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, why don't you walk a mile in the other guy's shoes before you condemn, before you mistreat, before you gossip about others? James verse 17, this applies to a lot of people, by the way. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Let that sink in, all of you public servants. Let that sink in, all you church goers, all you medical professionals, all you people in the media. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is a sin. Matthew 24, verse 24. For false Christs, or false messiahs, and false prophets will rise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Let me end with this one. Well, no, I got two more. Matthew 24, verse 13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's our job, folks. Endure to the end. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. Okay, this is in your Bibles, folks. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whether we like it or not, folks, that's who we are, his chosen people. Would to God we acted like it. Would to God that we'd have the courage to say and do the things we should do rather than be intimidated by the workers of iniquity. And let me just say before we close in prayer that I praise the Father for all that I've been able to do. And for the folks that send me the fan mail, I appreciate it very much. But beings as this is October, I've now hit 24 years of the radio show. And all glory goes to the Father that we've been able to sit together in fellowship for 24 years. Hundreds and hundreds of various guests, thousands of hours of education, study, and fellowship. And many, many great events, new ministries, new radio shows, changed lives, or as the gentleman who just emailed me this morning from England said, thank you for all your emails, Daniel, and thank you for waking me up. That's what it's all about, folks. Not money, not gold and silver, not platitudes from the fake, phony stuff shirts out there, but sincere, heartfelt gratitude from one of the lost sheep when their eyes are opened. That's what it's all about. When they can finally see clearly through all the lies and deceptions that are out there. Because trust me, there are a lot. We, as his chosen race, as his family, we are in the position to make great changes on this earth. Even if we have to do it through one Israelite at a time, the power that has been given to us will return much. That's why he has all the parables about investing one talent and getting 10 back. Those are all to teach the lesson that you put a little effort in and put it in the hands of the Father to turn it into much greater and mightier works. This world is on the verge of seeing his judgment being poured out. Oh, there's people full of themselves right now that think they've pulled off the greatest scam in the history of the world. But those days are numbered. And his sons and daughters, his royal priesthood, as that scripture we just read talks about, you must endure to the end. You have to endure. You cannot give up, no matter what you see going on around you, no matter what your thoughts might be, or misgivings, or anxieties. You suppress all of that. You're in a royal priesthood. You're in a very special position at the end of this earth age. You're in a position looked forward to by millions of our ancestors. And you have lived to see it. Soon we will see what he meant by the changing in the twinkling of an eye, just around the corner. I pray Yahweh's blessing upon each and every person. I pray the soldier's ransom prayer for all of our warriors out there. We are in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Many things will be revealed in a very short period of time. And may His Holy Spirit minister to each and every one of you. May He give us strength, courage, discernment, and guidance for the days that are coming. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, as always, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for this time of fellowship, discipleship, learning, apprenticeship. And we just pray your blessing upon all those who wish to do your will upon the earth. Make your law plain, easy to see, even through the mistranslations and the deceptions that are out there. Common sense and rational thinking are all supported by your law. Your law is the only thing that gives life and salvation to the lost. Help us endure, Father Yahweh, to the very end. And we pray for your coming and the twinkling to be very soon. And until that day, we will continue to work and pray and do the things that you've commanded us to do, that we can make a difference in this sick, demented world that we find ourselves. To that end, Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.